Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pitt men's basketball coach Jeff Capel joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff, good morning. How's everything?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good. A little under the weather. You got a throat thing going on, Jeff.
I got a little cold thing going on, man. I'm trying not to cough as I talk to you guys.
I have had that for like a week and a half. I know. It's just it's awful. It really is. You'll shake it, though. It's that time of year. You know it's getting cold. You know it's getting into conference season soon when you start getting that cough, though. But let me ask you this. Is this you play the Niagara game, you lose by a point. You play the West Virginia game, which is a really weird basketball game down there, and you lose by 10. Would you classify this as adversity, as a test? Where are you? What's the word you'd put around what's going on right now?
Well, you know, in my opinion, we need to play with a sense of urgency. The reality is that we're 1-3 in our last four games. And we have to change that. And we can't expect it to change just by talking about it or acknowledging it. First and foremost, I'm not sure if our guys knew. We got together for the first time yesterday in practice since West Virginia because we're in exams. And the very first thing I did was that I walked in our locker room. We met, and I put 1-3 on the board. And I asked our guys, does anyone have any idea what this means? And one kid knew, but that's only because he had met with one of my assistants earlier. And my assistant told him. Because I said to my staff on Sunday, do you think any of our guys know that we're 1-3 in our last four games? And so we talked about that. And then under it, I put down 49-74. And I asked them, does anyone know what this means? And no one knew what that meant. And over the last four games, we have 49 assists and 74 turnovers. And that's the reason why we're 1-3. So we have to do a better job of valuing the basketball, of being smarter, playing smarter, executing our game plan. And so for me, there has to be a sense of urgency for us to change this. We can't be accepting of it. You know, I think our season has been a little bit weird, for me, so far different. From the standpoint of, you know, we got off to a good start. We're 6-0. And then we go lose at Iowa. And it's a loss, but it was almost like we won. You know, like it was a loss in the column, but I think because of the reaction from everyone, and I don't know if it's because people expected us to get killed. The fact that we had a layup to win the game, it's almost like we won. And then we come back and we play the Duquesne game, and it's a rivalry. It's a lot of emotion. We don't get off to a good start, but then we play hard, we compete, and we end up winning the game, I think, by 20 points, 21 points. And it's like, you know, I think our guys get a sense of, you know, we're better than we really are. And then we come back and we play Niagara, who lost three in a row. They're without their best player. And we felt like we could just show up. And it was a dose of reality. And so what I try to talk to our guys about, like, look, this is the reality. Like, you guys live in this social media world. That is not reality. That's fake. This is the reality, and we have to change it.
Do you get a sense, Jeff, that that's something you might have to fight all year as you guys continue to go through ups and downs, is that when you play well for a stretch, that you might get some guys who look at it and have almost a false sense of accomplishment?
You know, to be honest with you, I hope we go through it because that means that we are winning and we're doing something good. One of the easiest things to do is to lose. And I think these guys know that. Because it doesn't require a lot of effort, doesn't require a lot of concentration. You just go out there and play. I think it's a big difference between playing and competing, and then competing and fighting. And then if you add intelligence to that, then you have a chance to be a pretty good team. We've shown that in stretches, but we haven't shown it consistently. That's something that I expected, to be honest with you. It's frustrating, but it's something that we have to continue to teach, and we have to continue to hold the standard higher than what anyone in this program is used to.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hill. Certainly you say that to recruits when you hit the road, and watching social media, this is so weird, but people always take like shots of this guy sitting in the stands or this coach is there, and I find that oddly voyeuristic that people do that, but there have been shots of you at different gyms recruiting some kids. That being said, do you handle yourself differently when you're a head coach as opposed to recruiting as an assistant? You've done both before, obviously. But what are the differences?
You know, I think it depends on where you are. You know, being an assistant at Duke is a very high-profile thing. And so it's not the equivalent of being a head coach, but it's close because there's so much attention on Duke basketball, and there became so much attention on recruiting. You know, the whole social media thing is weird, man. Like, it's interesting. My wife and I were talking last night. I was out recruiting, and I called her. And, you know, she was telling me, she sent me this article, I think it was from the Huffington Post, about social media. I think it was a guy that created one of the social media platforms. Excuse me. And it was about how you should get off. You should, you know, destroy your social media. And I was just saying to her, it's interesting because yesterday morning, as I was sitting in my office, I was watching tape, you know, I almost deleted all of my social media stuff because it's just a weird thing, you know, like you can be at a game and, you know, I was at a game last night. I was out recruiting last night. And I was with Patrick Ewing, and obviously he's a very high-profile guy. And people are trying to take selfies. Like, they just – you know, there are no parameters anymore, man. Like, you can just be there, and people don't even ask you anymore. They just come up, stand beside you, and hold their phone out, and, hey, let me get a selfie. And they just do it. And, you know, you can be there. Like, one of the things that I hate is when I'm with my kids, and people want to – and I get it to a certain extent. But, you know, people – it's just this platform, man, that, you know, they want to talk about stuff, and they want to have a comment on stuff, and they want to – and a lot of times they don't know. So what I tell our guys is, like, look, we live real reality. Like, this is real. Like, excuse me, it's wins and losses. Like, that's what it comes down to. Not about likes, not about, hey, that I have this move and this one move, you know, or SportsCenter top 10 play. But did you win? Because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Did you win or did you lose? And, you know, and so, again, young people, it's different. Like, we're trying so hard. I have an 11-year-old daughter for as long as we can to keep them off of social media because it's just such an interesting thing now.
Pitt head coach Jeff Capel with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Let me rewind back to the game in Morgantown, Coach, and ask, do you take the tape from that game and glean anything from it, or do you look at it and say, this was such a unique game and the physicality that was permitted to be used in this game that we ball it up and throw it in the trash?
No, I don't do that. I certainly try to learn from it. You know, I've probably watched it 3 or 4 times, just looking at different things for us, studying us, not so much what they did or, you know, it was a very physical game. I mean, very, very physical game. It was an ugly game, to be honest with you. And it's a little frustrating at times because you watch these officiating videos, you watch these, you know, different things. You have got people come in and talk to you, officials, and then you go out there and it's like, okay, why did we watch this video? Why did we go through any of this stuff? Because this game was called completely different from the way that, you know, you talk about that it should be or it's going to be officiated. But for us, the main thing is that we have to have poise. That's what I gleaned from that. We have to be able to follow a game plan. And we have to be able to finish, you know, and when I say follow a game plan, we can't turn it over. Look, they pressured us, they went after us, but still we had a lot of unforced errors, and that's where the poise comes in. And then we have to play better. Plain and simple, we have to play better. So certainly you look at it, you study it, you go over it, you know, you watch it with your guys. You know, I've done that individually with guys because of exam period. It's been an odd week. But you learn from it and get better from it.
You know, it's interesting what you said about social media, and it springboards to this question. I talked to Andy Toole not long ago, and who I think is a fabulous coach and a really good guy. And Andy said, with social media and with phones now, kids always have a receipt. You tell them something, be at the bus at 11 o'clock, they can always look at it. But then in moments of strife, right, whenever you tell a kid, be here on this play, there's not that receipt available. And we've relied on that so much. Do you have to now teach kids because they don't pay attention as much anymore because they always have that receipt to rely on?
I agree 100% with Andy. I think what it's done is that it's communication, I think, is at an all-time low now, and attention spans and all of these things. When we were playing Duquesne, I think it was the second half, and it's a timeout. And we're starting to make a push, and I felt like it was a moment right then where we could really make a push and to kind of, you know, extend our lead and extend our dominance on the game, so to speak. And it's a timeout, Colin, and I'm there and I'm talking. And as I'm talking, all five guys that are in the game, they're looking up at the scoreboard. There's some video. I don't know what the video was because I was locked into the moment, but all five of them, their eyes were locked into the scoreboard. And I broke the dry erase board because I was so furious at that moment. But I just think that's what it is. I mean, I know right after practice, our guys, they go in. The very first thing they do is go to their phone. And I don't see it because I'm not in there. But then I see it because I see them retweeting something that someone said about them or retweeting a post that someone put up there. Excuse me. Or on their Instagram stories, you know, posting something that someone has said about them or a video or something like that. It's just, it's a really interesting time, not just for student athletes, but for young people in general with just social media. I mean, look at the kid from Oklahoma that won the Heisman, and then right afterwards, you know, you have tweets from 5 years ago that resurface. Look at, you know, DiVincenzo when they won the championship, all these things. And so it's just such an interesting time. Like when I was in, and again, you go back and all of us do this, or when I was in school or I was younger, I didn't want people to know what I was doing. You know, when I was in college, I didn't want people to know where I was or what I was doing. Thank goodness there was no social media back then. But it's just such an interesting time. And I think young people, I think their attention spans, you know, the way they learn is very different. They have so much information at their disposal, but is that helpful? I don't know.
Jeff, we thank you so very much. It was a wonderful conversation.
Great stuff.
Really
you.
Do. Jeff, take care of that voice. Get back out there, win some basketball games, and we'll chat soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks. All right. So good. It made a lot. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It's alternate reality, man.
It is.
And then you're forced to be in that real, and it's like, well, how do I react?
Think about what it takes to get your kids' attention these days.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I mean, we joked the other day about the little third and fourth grade girls basketball team that I'm the assistant coach of.
Uh-huh.
But, like, when you're talking to them, you literally have to say, hey, look at me. And now he's talking about the same thing with a group of college kids at the D1 level.
Unbelievable.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.